There's been something that's really concerned me about all the stuff that's been happening to our body, and I don't think there's a family that has not been affected by it. It almost reminded me of like the enemy carpet bombing us, and it's been very upsetting to me, and I prayed about it and everything, but something... And who am I to talk about something like this? But it's like the Lord said, I want you to speak to that issue. And so here I am. And as I get into that, we just went through the book of Ecclesiastes on Sunday school. And it's been an interesting book for me, and there's some, Solomon had asked for wisdom how to handle Israel, and God gave him wisdom, where he was actually probably the smartest man in the world, because God gave him a supernatural wisdom. People would come from all over the world to visit him because of his wisdom. So in the book of Ecclesiastes, he was searching out life in general. And he came up with a conclusion that was all vanity. You know, it was not good at all. And there's a couple phrases that he used, and one of them was life under the sun and life over the sun. And he uses those phrases many times in the book. And so life under the sun was people living in and doing just the natural, just depending on natural life to figure things out. And he said it's vanity. He said it's useless. It doesn't accomplish anything. But then he went back in again and he searched out again. This time he looked at it with a little different perspective. He added the God factor into it. And come to find out, life is worth living. There's good things to be seen. Well, tonight, the title of the message is The Enemy at the Door. The Enemy at the Door. And so I'm going to look at something tonight. I'm going to give you some statements that would be classified as life under the sun. I'm going to do that first, okay? So these are some of the statements I think a lot of people would have, could have, maybe did use these statements as they were going through some of the stuff that was going on. So what do you do when the enemy comes in like a flood and your world seems to fall apart? When your hopes are dashed and there appears to be no answer that makes sense, and you cry out, why, God? You are my healer and my strength, and yet your body seems to fall apart, even as you're trusting in God. Why does the enemy seem to be able to come in and destroy your health? God is supposed to be with us and for us, and yet the enemy seems to make great inroads into your life. You have the call of God on your life, yet you are sapped of the strength and the help to accomplish and fulfill your call that God is supposed to bring to pass. Where are you, God? What do you have to say to us? Why are you allowing the enemy to have the upper hand? Why am I being defeated when I'm trusting in you? And some of these kind of statements is what is going around at people that are facing at this moment. Bad things seems to be happening to those who are doing the right things. So I want to examine this topic. This is what the Lord wanted me to do. I want to examine this topic for answers from God's Word concerning this. Now, Job went through this problem. And the Lord told him that, so it mentions right in the book of Job, that God said himself, that Job was a righteous man. And yet he went through a long period of time being harassed by Satan, in which he lost his possessions, his family, and his health. God even said he was a righteous man. And yet God used Job to prove to Satan that his ways were best, and Job eventually came through his experience victoriously and brought great glory to God by his actions. James has some things to say to us. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 7. Profiting from trials. Oh, we just love those trials, don't we? Chapter 1 of James, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Yeah, I could use some patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So, we're supposed to be joyful when we go through trials, when we go through problems. That's not always easy, is it? By doing that, the testing of our faith then produces patience. And when patience has its perfect work, you'll be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. And then it goes on, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. And then Isaiah has something to say. Chapter 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So let's see, there's some scriptures that we need to grab onto and hang onto and believe in them. Hallelujah. And then Romans, Paul talks to us a little bit, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So all things are good. No, it says all things will work together for good, because there's a lot of bad out there. And we all seem to have to face the bad at times. But it will work together for good to those who are the called according to his purpose. So if we're called according to his purpose, God works all things for good in our life. If we are walking the walk with him, then we have to trust that he knows what he's doing and has our best interest in mind. Our God is majestic, and we don't know all that he's doing. He doesn't tell us everything that we're doing. We are in the dark on some things. And in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So if we are in him, we will have peace, because he gives us peace. We'll have tribulation out there in the world. Yeah, we're all going to go through some tribulation. I'm not talking the great tribulation. I'm talking everyday tribulation that a lot of us will go through. And then Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, John was the last of the prophets, and so there was a change taking place. It was a turnover. We weren't going to be dealing with the prophets anymore. Jesus had come on the scene. Hallelujah. And there were people were crowding. They were pushing to get into the kingdom. Hallelujah. And the violent take it by force. I still remember when I was, I was wanting to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, I had to have that Holy Spirit. I had to have him. And I fought for it. I wasn't willing to just let it go by me. No, I had to have the Holy Spirit. Anyway, the violent take it by force. Now, this is an important scripture. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10 and 11. Who among you fears the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? I fear the Lord. Who obeys the voice of his servant? Do you obey the voice of the Lord? Yes. Who walks in darkness and has no light? Well, you know, the Lord doesn't give us light on everything. We're a lot of times we're walking in darkness and we're having to rely on him. We have to put our trust in him. Hallelujah. Have to put our faith in him. And so who has no light? Sometimes we do walk a little bit of darkness. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. And that's one of the things that I've noticed a lot. We need to keep trusting God. We need to rely on him. Hallelujah. He's given us great and precious promises in his word. And we need to rely on him. Hallelujah. But then it goes on, verse 11. And look out here. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and then the sparks you have kindled. And this you will have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment. What are they saying here? He's saying, don't try to figure out your problems in your own natural self. Trust in him. Seek the Lord. If you're walking in darkness, let him trust in the name of your Lord. Hallelujah. And so don't try to figure it out. If you try to figure out your problem yourself, all you're going to do is get yourself in trouble. And it's not worth it. So God never promised to show us everything he's doing. Excuse me. Our walk is a walk of faith. And God is looking for those who will trust him, no matter what they see. I remember years ago, I think it was 1964, we were in Ketchikan, Alaska, and we had bought a Dodge van. It was the new ones when they first came out. And it was delivered to the steamship dock in Seattle. And it sat there for 3 weeks in a row. They didn't have room to put it on the steamship. And so Laura and I felt led. I got my first long weekend. You got off on Friday afternoon. Didn't have to go back to work till the following Wednesday evening. And we just felt led to fly down to Seattle, pick it up, and drive the van up over the highway. Sounds great, right? Well, there was a little problem. The roads were flooded through Canada, and you couldn't get through. And yet, they'll say, well, how are you going to get your vehicle up? I don't know, but we're supposed to go down there. So we went down, and we got my dad to go to church with us. Tony Fontaine was singing in Calvary Temple in Seattle on a Sunday night, and my dad gave his heart to the Lord. So we knew that's why we had to be there. All right. And the next morning, the next day when we crossed the border, we asked how the roads are. Well, they just opened up this morning. And we made it as far as we could that night, and then we drove the next day. Tuesday, we made it into Prince Rupert. They closed the roads back down behind us. So it didn't make sense. So a lot of the things the Lord does with us do not make sense, But if he tells you to do it, do it. He'll open up the doors. Hallelujah. So God is looking for those who will trust Him no matter what they see. We don't have the whole picture. And we're so prone to go by what we see and hear that we have the tendency to just trust in that. God is bigger than our perspective. His ways are higher than our ways. And His will is going to be accomplished in this world regardless of what the enemy seems to be doing. And God is working all the angles. He's working here, He's working there, and this over here may be tied in with here, but He's working all of it all together at the same time. And we'll get into that in a minute. So God is multifaceted. He is accomplishing many things at the same time. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures here. He's setting something up for future ministry. You have to remember, Jesus didn't do anything on His own. He only did what the Father showed Him to do. So it's like the Father was the advanced man for His ministry. He was out there setting things up for Jesus to do. So, in Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to 30, it's an interesting story. And it happened on a certain day that He got into a boat with His disciples. And He said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." Let us cross over to the other side of the lake. That means they're going over there. Nothing's going to stop them. And they launched out. But as they sailed, He fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. The boat was sinking. And they came to Him and woke Him, saying, "Master, Master, we're perishing." They were going to go to the other side, though, because the Father said they were going. That's why Jesus was sleeping. He didn't worry about it. They're going to the other side. They were going there because the Father had a work that He wanted them to do. And also, the devil knew that Jesus was going to do something good on the other side. So the devil brought the windstorm to try to shut them down, to try to drown them, to try to prevent them from getting to the other side. But Jesus said they were going to the crossover, and they were going, and that's all. The enemy couldn't stop them. So at the same time, while that's going on, the Lord's working on somebody over where they were going. There was the devil was trying to destroy a certain man that was possessed by demons. So then in verse 24 there again, continuing, "Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But He said to them, 'Where is your faith?'" I want you to remember that statement. "Where is your faith?" "And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, 'Who can this be? For He commands even the winds and water, and they obey Him.'" Now it's interesting. The fact that He asked them, "Where is your faith?" indicates to me that they had the ability to shut the winds down also. Hallelujah. So, verse 26, "Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when He stepped out on the land, there met Him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. He wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before Him, and with a loud voice, 'What have I to do with You, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?'" Now that man would not have known that. It's the demons in him that knew that. So they're the ones really that said, "I beg you, do not torment me." For He had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. So there he is. I mean, they put shackles and chains on him, and he broke them, and it was just, I mean, this guy was messed up. He was really messed up. So Jesus asked him in verse 30, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And then I'm going to jump down to 33. It says, "Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine." Remember that, what happened is they had the demons ask, "Can you go into the swine instead of sending us to the abyss?" So he gave them permission. And so they go into enter the swine. And the swine actually were pretty smart. The herd ran violently down into the place, into the lake, and drowned. That's better than having the demons in you. And when those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then when he went out to see, when they went out to see what had happened, they came to Jesus and found the man whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also who had seen it told him by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. And then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Well, you know, if you do some strange things like that out into our world, some of those people would probably be afraid too. You know, they didn't understand what was going on, and they were afraid. So now the man from whom the demons had departed, 38, begged him that he might be with them. He wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things that God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. It's the power of the testimony. It's very, very powerful. So the Father really is the one that set this all up in advance. And it's bigger than this. It's bigger than this one man you're going to see here in a little bit. So the Father set this up in advance for Jesus to do, and that is why they had to cross over to the other side. It was to touch this man, but it was going to be bigger than that before it was all over. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Oh, so we have good works that the Lord has set up for us to do. And if we'll be like Jesus and we'll pay attention to the Lord, he will guide and direct us in the places that he is at work and is wanting to bring us there to accomplish some big thing. Hallelujah. Now, years ago on the radio, they used to have a program. Paul Harvey had it. Remember the rest of the story? I thought that was a pretty neat program. So let's go on here. They crossed over. In this passage that we just read here, Jesus was in the boat with them, but he was asleep. In the next journey that we look at here, Jesus sent them on ahead by themselves to cross over while he stayed and prayed. So they were by themselves. And yet, I see the Lord watching over them and praying for their success. Matthew 14, 22 to 25. This happened after the miracle of the loaves and fishes where they fed the multitudes and everything. And it says in verse 22, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go over before him to the other side." Now Jesus tell them to do that. Go over to the other side. Go to the boat. While he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. Here we go. Another storm again. For the wind was contrary. So now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And then you have the story there of Peter walking on the water, Jesus calming the water and everything. We get down to verse 34. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, the same general area where they were at earlier. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. In the first story, Jesus was in the boat, but he was asleep. In the next story, Jesus was on the land. In fact, he went up on the mountain to pray, and the disciples were in the boat by themselves. So what happened here? Why all of a sudden have these people come running out and want Jesus? That's the power of the testimony. Remember, Jesus told the demoniac he needed to go back home and proclaim what God had done for him. And this was the result. Now these people understood. And when Jesus came, they were bringing everybody out to get healed by Jesus. Hallelujah. That sounds a little bit about where we want to be heading, don't we?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, John 20:21, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. So Jesus was sent by the Father to do the works of God. And Jesus has sent us out just like he was sent out. So the work of Jesus is supposed to be going on. It didn't quit when he went back to heaven. We're doing now the work of Jesus. And in our story that we're reading here, I believe that God is wanting us to cross over. He wants to cross over from where we're at now and what we're doing now into something that's rich, something that's real, something that God has in store for us. In our story, we've been set to cross over, but Jesus isn't in the boat anymore, and he isn't up on the mountain anymore. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Hallelujah. That's where he's at. So our assignment has been to cross over to the other side, where he has great ministry for us to do. We have been raised up for such a time as this. The enemy is doing everything he can do to hinder or destroy us in the process. That's what we've been going through. That's what we've been going through. The enemy has been coming in and he's been hindering his people. He's been beating them down. He's been doing all this stuff and trying to destroy us in the process. In the natural, he seems to be winning. However, we are more than conquerors through Christ. We're headed in the right direction. We're headed in the right direction. Hallelujah. And we have to keep trusting that he is directing our path. And we are walking in his victory. He will see us through. And note, I'm going to share some things from the Word. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2 and 3. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Is it covering the earth right now? Oh, yeah. And deep darkness of people. Yeah, the hearts of people. They're in deep darkness. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. We're looking forward, Lord. We're crossing over to what you have in store for us. And there's great things coming as a result. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And there's nothing going to happen in our own strength. We can't make it happen. We want to see revival. You can't make revival happen. The Lord's going to be. It's going to be by his spirit. Hallelujah. The spirit of the Lord was helping Zerubbabel build the temple. But the spirit of the Lord is also enabling us to build the church. Hallelujah. And according to Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So we are on assignment, crossing over into what God wants us to do. We're in the storm, but God is at the wheel. We are walking in life over the sun by the intervention of God in our lives, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We are workers together with God, accomplishing his will on the earth. Don't give up, but put your trust in him. And Haggai 2:9 says, "The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." We are the temple of the Holy of the Lord. And this temple is far superior to the former temple. Yes. Hallelujah. And John 4:23-24 says, "And the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. And God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Hallelujah. And 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So we have liberty to move in the Lord and accomplish his purposes. We have the victory. Hallelujah. The enemy is at the door, so don't let him in. If God is for us, nobody can be against us. So we're crossing over into our destiny. The Father has gone ahead of us and is preparing the way. And each one of us has a calling. Each one of us has something that God wants us to do. And he's wanting us to step out into that calling and do what God wants us to do. Amen. And we grow in that. You know, we're not perfect, but we grow in what God wants us to do. And so we all have a calling. We're headed that way. And I believe that the Lord is taking us through from where we are to where he wants us to be. And so our goal is we need to have patience with him. We need to trust him. We need to keep believing him. And what Jesus said in the boat to his disciples, he said, "Have faith." Do you have faith? Where is your faith? So we need to trust God and move forward. Can we have faith? Can we pray that God takes us through this thing now? It's time. This has to go down. So God, take us through to victory. Take us through, Lord, what we're going through. Lord, do away with all this carpet bombing and garbage that the enemy's been doing. Wipe it out, Lord. And let us walk forward in liberty and in the peace and power of God, hallelujah, to accomplish what God has asked us to do. Hallelujah. Father, we look to you tonight. I thank you that you're a great God. Lord, and you've given us your word. And Lord, I pray that your word will touch and penetrate our hearts and bring forth fruit. I pray, God, that we'll trust your word, that we will trust in you, that we will walk with you, that you will move upon our hearts, Lord, and enable us to have total victory, God, as we trust in you. God, we're hungry to see you move. We're hungry, Lord, to see the multitudes come into the kingdom. We're hungry to see people touched by the Spirit of the living God. And Lord, we cry out to you for that. And we're asking you, Lord, take us out of this storm. We bind the storm. We bind the enemy, Lord, what he's trying to do to us. And Lord, take us through to the other side and accomplish your purposes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.